Welcome to Creating Cash Flow for April 10th, 2023. Karen Eileen, are you ready to go?
I'm super ready. Yeah.
Awesome. So Karen Eileen is a cash flow cat. She's working out what to do for income, but she is also an on-camera actress, voiceover coach, voiceover artist, all that good stuff. So victory first. Congratulations. On the giant conversation with your family, like state of the union for just you,
oh, which is man.
Always a real comfortable conversation to have, but also there was love there.
Yeah.
And you felt that it was, they're coming from the best interests, you know, your best interests at heart. So that's good. So congratulations for surviving.
Thank you.
And you're welcome. So we must acknowledge always the survival.
No, it was a big deal, especially because it was so unexpected. It was just over, you know, breakfast.
And
it was it was over breakfast.
Oh, like, no, it was going to happen.
No, totally. I did not initiate it. It was like, let's have a conversation about your finances. And I was like, you know what? What I heard in my head was Miata talking about how she used to hide everything from her family members because she was afraid. And I'm like, I'm going to make a different choice here. Let's see what happens. So
what? So that's a victory in and of itself. Well, I didn't realize it was kind of like not an ambush, but like sort of a.
It was a gentle ambush. It was. Yeah. I would go with that. A kind ambush.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So you have two questions. One is logistic around the cash and sort of what you might do, continuing the conversation we had last session.
Correct.
And then the other question is about mindset. And I think that's where I want to start. So here's what you wrote. With all of this very powerful foundational work I'm doing, I'm running up against fairly all or nothing thinking, meaning that it feels like I have to completely put down my creative work until my money gets stronger and clearer. Mm-hmm. And this feels incredibly profoundly sad. It feels like a huge loss and failure. I definitely need a new way to think about it. So I'm sure no one listening now or ever in the future will be able to relate to this conversation. So I'm glad we're having it.
Boom. There it is.
For you.
Okay.
Let me ask you.
Yes.
Tell me about you. What happened after you, like, did you graduate from college? And then what did you do after? Like, what was your... How did you get into acting?
Yeah, the trajectory. Yes, I graduated from college and I started working in the corporate world. I was an advertising copywriter. I was radio producer for the Armed Forces Radio Network. It was corporate.
Mm-hmm.
And on the side, I was doing some acting stuff because I was so drawn to it. I took classes. I did community theater. I'd have to really think about what my first, I know the first professional gig was, I booked like a week or 10 days on Unsolved Mysteries, which was a union gig at the time. And I had to decide whether to quit my corporate job or go and film for 2 weeks on this gig. And I'm like, this is the launch point. So I leapt.
That's okay. So then the gig ends and then what?
I just started working. I started working as an actor on camera and voiceover, like all the time. Yeah. I didn't realize how unusual that was.
Okay.
Yeah. So I just thought, this is great. This is it. This is what I'm doing. Yeah.
And you were in Los Angeles?
No, I was in South Florida. So I was making a good living as a union performer in South Florida, which is almost unheard of. So I didn't understand how much of a unicorn that was. I didn't.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you really did have an outlier unicorn experience.
Yes.
And then things happened and now you're in a stage of, and things happened not of your own doing. And now you're in a stage of rebuilding.
That's a very gentle way to put it. Yeah, I think so.
Is that accurate though?
The things not of my own doing. I mean, I feel like a lot of the things that went down, I had a hand in, but not intentionally. You know,
It's
like
your life. Of course, you had a hand in it.
I
But
did
it's
the
not
best I
like you fucked
could.
up, you fucked up, you fucked up, you fucked up, and now you have to rebuild. That's not your
No,
story.
though
Okay. So
the inner mean girl will often try and get that CD in the player.
well, your
Yeah.
lizard brain is like, oh, it's all you. It's all you. Why couldn't,
Yes.
obviously, you're not a unicorn because you couldn't you couldn't continue that unicorn experience. So
What
look
happened?
where you
What
are. You
happened
were
to the
revealed.
magic? Yes.
Yes. Okay. So
So I
now
went to
you
LA. So
say,
like on
oh
the
yeah.
rising tide of that, I was encouraged to go to LA and again had some very nice success right off the bat. And so I was like, okay, great. Here we go. Here we go. Here we go.
So you're kind of having right now what a lot of people have at the beginning of their career.
Yes.
Yes. It reminds me a lot of my mother-in-law. So
Oh.
she went from like her parents' house to her sister's house to then she got married to her husband's house, you know, back in the day.
Yes.
And then at 65, she was 65 when her husband of all her life died. And she was at a crossroads. And it was like, you are either going to crumble or you're going to learn how to do a lot of the things that people learned in their 20s.
Yes.
You know, how to do your finances, how to
Yes.
have a cell phone, how to buy a car, like all new experiences. Just you skipped over some of that in your 20s. And so
Yes.
she rose to the occasion
Okay.
and is, you know, has lived alone for many years now and is doing her stuff.
Okay.
But she was scared at first. And I remember I took her to buy her first cell phone and she literally flinched when I sort of handed it, like, how do you like this one? Well,
It's a lot.
but I didn't flinch because it's like you have to learn some stuff that you just haven't had to learn before because you had a really great experience. So it's not your fault and it's also not bad. It's not detrimental. You just had a really lovely burst at the very beginning. And so here you are in a rebuilding stage,
Yes.
and you're learning a different way to do it.
Yeah, for sure.
And this way might be income even outside of your creative career.
I fully get that. Yeah.
The mindset, though, now is like, oh, but that means failure.
Yeah, help
That
me
means
here.
I'm going backward, which is interesting because you were earning, like you were working in the corporate world and had a real job, but it
And
didn't
I
seem
made a
like,
lot of money and
yeah,
was miserable.
right. But it also didn't feel like a failure that you shifted to acting.
Oh no,
It
because
wasn't like
that was the dream.
that
Yeah.
was the dream, but this is all story.
Oh, I see.
This is
Oh
all
God, that's a
story.
really strong story.
It's
Wow.
okay to shift from a job in the world that you don't like to the dream, but it's not okay to ever shift from a dream to just a financial solvency.
It has to be okay. There has to be a new story. It's required. Yeah.
Required.
Required.
And this is going to be a key that
Okay.
unlocks you doing, rebuilding, and doing whatever you want. Now,
Okay.
I'm
Okay.
not saying the key is getting a job. I'm not saying that's the key. I'm
Yeah.
saying the mindset shift of possibility and new stories around what you consider failing.
Yeah.
Because you taking care of what you need to take care of is amazing. It's something to be celebrated, no matter what it looks like. It's like, I am not broken and I'm
Right.
taking care of my shit.
Super emotional. I mean, so emotional. I want to wave a magic wand and not be in this position, and
Yeah.
you don't have one.
You the magic of the wand is you want to instantaneously be lifted out of it because you have all the magic that's necessary to shift yourself from this position. It's just going to look different, maybe take longer. But if you think about it as like, oh my God, then I have to do this and then I have to do this and that's going to be horrible. And it's not going to be fun until I get myself back to where I want to be.
Right.
Or the story could be like, oh geez, this is obviously an adventure. Who knows who I'm going to meet? Who knows what my money will be able to buy? Who knows how good this is going to feel? Who knows what this will set me up for in the future? Who knows? I will be a better actor and voiceover artist once I have this pressure off of me.
Yeah, I feel it. Sure. I mean, I'm pretty good at compartmentalizing, but it is squishing on the wall.
Yeah, because it's been a while. And you're also contending with other things. So we don't need to go into that, but I do want to acknowledge that I do know that you are contending with some deep emotional heaviness.
Thank you.
On a daily basis.
Yeah.
And that is what your compartmentalizing muscles should be put towards. But you can't have 8 things you're holding it.
Oh, it's too many things. Yeah, it's like trying to keep the dam from breaking. Yeah. Okay.
So when you think of next steps and you think of what is next and the options available to you, if you keep telling boo stories about all of them except the one way you want it.
Yes, to be. Right.
Because if you make the decision of like, the thing I want most before I leave this earth is to feel what it's like to be an artist and work at my full potential, wings fully unfurled.
Yeah, for sure.
That's what I want. And I'm willing to do anything to get myself there. Because then it's like you're looking at every step of the way as like, ooh, this is building muscles. Ooh, this is getting me better. I'm freeing this burden up because I can only unfurl my wings to their full extent without this money monkey on my back. Like, but that's the experience I want to have gliding on the thing before I hit the glass wall and die. You know what I mean?
Oh my God.
I know you hate it when I
hate those. Now, you know, yes. Yeah. Oh, that's hilarious.
I say it just to shake us into getting less attached to everything, less precious. It's like, is all finite and it's here for us to have this adventure.
Okay. I can hear that for sure. Yeah.
So
there
are things. No, go ahead,
Karen. Oh no, I'm just I totally realized I'm on the wrong Zoom account.
Okay. Do you need to pop off and come back?
Yes, I'm so sorry. I'm like, who is that? I'm like, oh my God, that's one of my contract employers. I'll be back.
Pop off, like, come back. I'll talk to somebody else in the meantime. Hey Danny. I just wanted to say hi. And it is totally, I don't like to call people out. I will never be like, we're going to talk to you now when you're like, I didn't raise my hand.
That's okay.
So I'm not putting you on the spot, but I just wanted to say, welcome. You're absolutely welcome to be here. Even if you like, you haven't completed all of the content and information. And anytime you want to have a little brainstormy session around like, what could I do? Because you have a lot, you've had a whole career. You have a lot of skill set that you could probably turn into cash is what I'm saying to you.
I love that you know that because I just saw your response on the open forum you've like heard my episode on the podcast with Audrey. And so, you know, like you already know my whole backstory. So I don't even have to go into it. But yeah, I did have a whole career in law enforcement and then that's just a tough one where it's like most of the jobs in that field are really full time and it's really hard to get away from. So, but I mean, I have a lot of skill set from that. But yeah, I've been full time acting since the end of 2019. I have Karen Eileen just shared her like unicorn, whatever. And I wouldn't say that that's me necessarily, but like I did decide to start acting and got my first agent in like 2016. But then when I booked my first union job in 2018, I booked like 7 that year. And then by 2019, I had to quit my side job because I had, thank God, I had 2 recurring gigs back to back. And so then it just became, and ever since then, I've been somebody who, like, I work just enough that any other employer would hate me.
Right. Right.
You know what I mean? And so I'm just trying to figure out, cause I do audition coaching on the side, but like, that's been super slow all year because, I mean, everybody knows it's just been really slow all year because of this, mm-hmm. a lot of different things, but especially with the pending strikes. So yeah, Miata had said to me, go ahead and jump in on these because there might be something that's still really helpful for me while I'm still going through the modules. Because, you know, if May 1st comes in a couple of weeks and we don't have work, then all of my forms of income are just like coming to a standstill aside from residuals, but that's not going to sustain me with my bills. So.
Mm-hmm. And just one of the things, and this was literally just off the top of my head, mm-hmm. because you already do audition coachings, so you're already facile in an area of helping people improve with performing in the industry, maybe there's a little segment of like gals with guns, like, during this strike, are there actresses who are interested in the getting into the world that you already inhabit in the industry of just mm-hmm. kind of improving their skills of like handling things? Not even, I'm not talking about you showing weaponry stuff, but there is an embodiment that you have to have to be realistic of like, I've used this gun before. I've been trained, you know, in this way. And maybe, so there's that segment that there might be possibility in, but there might also be a segment of veterans and ex-officers and stuff who are coming into the acting world and might want like some pointers of how do you translate? Because I'm sure on camera, it's not exactly the way you do it on the real world. And it's like, are there things that you've learned of how to shape a performance, mm-hmm. like again, that's like literally off the top of my head this morning while I was,
you know, watching my channel. That's, those are both wonderful ideas because I could almost do like, even while we're on hiatus, if we go on hiatus, and let's all pray that we don't, but if we all do, then, you know, there might be an opportunity for more of like a workshop style situation where it's like, hey, because there's so many procedural type of roles. And I will say that like the main casting directors here in Atlanta, because that's where I'm at, the reason I booked 7 jobs in my first year of working in the union is because I immediately became their go-to female officer type. Mm-hmm. And I played a bunch of officers and like FBI agents and stuff like that. But there is a... there's something to the fact that like they particularly said that women are, it's really hard for women to do the procedural authoritative roles because it always seems pushed. And so there is something to, you know, people have individually reached out to me being like, how do I just assert my authority without it looking like I'm trying, you know? So that's a good
idea. That's even better than what I said.
Yeah.
Asserting the authority, you can, and your marketing is, you know, here's what I hear from the casting directors that I have worked with. It's like the reason a lot of women don't nail the authoritative roles is because they feel like they're pushing. It's not an embodiment. It's something you're sort of trying on for size. Yeah. And if you know that looks wise, you're a cop, you're a judge, you're blah, 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 you're blah, 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 but you're not feeling like you're fitting in that, let's work on that, because that's an excellent, it's a deep vein of casting. There's always going to be need for officers and military and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But even women who can lead the room, and we want more of that on television anyway.
Yeah.
You know, so this embodiment physically, vocally, mm-hmm. through the eyes, so mentally, mm-hmm. of authority, that is a very fascinating niche to mine, I think.
I think that's a great idea. Thank you so much. And I also loved the idea of figuring out at some point how to put it out there to people who might be coming in as a second act actor who have the military or law enforcement background. I know there's a lot of men that do that. But I also know, like, I have a friend who she works all the time. So it's like, whatever, she doesn't care about these roles that much, but she's a actual Marine. And she says, I never book Marines because I do not know how to be authoritative though, even though she's right. A Marine.
Right. And I think that's a distinction to draw in your thing. You might have a military background. You might have a cop or judge, you know, in all the, but doing your job in the real world and projecting authority on screen can be two different things.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's not necessarily cultivated in the work that you're doing.
Right. Yeah. And tell me what, I mean, and if anybody else wants to chime in your opinion on this, but like, this just came to me, so it's not a fully fleshed out idea, but the thing that I talk about, because last year I did teach some audition technique classes too. And I always, the thing I'm noticing with a lot of the actors that I've been in contact with is that in terms of their casting, there's a lot of confusion with what I would call, they don't know their path of least resistance, which is what I have found law enforcement to be for me. So like, I just had a friend contact me going, I don't know, everybody's saying they don't know what they're going to do with me. And she's a gorgeous Latina. All her photos look like she's a model. But then as soon as you get her on video, she looks quirky. She has some like facial features that are not like the typical model feature. It's a little bit more of a quirky look and she's funny. So I'm like, it's because you don't have any material that actually showcases how you present on film. And so like, you haven't shown anybody your path of least resistance. She's like, in all the 10 plus years, nobody's ever mentioned this thing to me. And I would just be curious to know if like, that seems like that could be a workshop.
Of, yes.
Like, how people find their path of least resistance.
100%. And I wouldn't use the words path of least resistance in the title or anything. That's more like because use the language of the people. They keep telling me I'm talented, but casting keeps telling me they're not sure what to do with me. Mm-hmm. I've heard that a million times from actors.
No, like, or the agents or managers.
Agents and managers, all of it. Like, I keep,
what I would do with you. Yeah.
Exactly. So yes, the industry doesn't know what to do with me. Help. The industry doesn't know what to do with me.
Yeah.
Let's get your casting in check so you can hit the ground running after the strike.
Yeah. Because I just feel like a lot of people are stunted by that. And it's something that I feel like is like, it burdens me that other people are dealing with this. And I'm so happy that at some point early on, I don't even remember when it happened, that I figured it out, that I just needed to tell casting who the heck I am in real life so that it could be an easy yes for those first credits to start building, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And you can do this, by the way, even if there is no strike, but strike is a perfect time for actors. Like, let's recalibrate. Let's get this stuff tight.
Yeah.
And you being the 2020 self tape may, you know, a lot of people listen to that podcast. So I would definitely like just say that's you, because, you know, that's cool. And
make sure Audrey doesn't mind me promoting myself with that behind
promoting
it.
Her podcast. I sincerely doubt that she would.
Probably not.
She seemed to like you as well. So
yeah. No, Audrey's great. Yeah.
So start thinking. And as you read the cash flow material, it will help you start to be like, oh, right. Oh, right. This is how I talk about it. This is how I sell it. Figure out a price. Da, da, da. And you're not limited to Atlanta, of course, because online you can do all of this stuff. I mean, your clients could submit you tapes of stances and how they're operating. And you can just be like, here's what I see.
Oh, yeah. No, I've done lots of virtual coaching, especially pandemic. And I had a client that was over in Budapest all year and I was working on something and I was coaching her. So like, virtual definitely still works.
Yeah. 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 Okay. So start thinking about that and bring back any questions and any kind of like, how should we massage this? But
yeah, because the idea that I feel like I need for me is that it has to be something I can pick up and put down when I need to, you know, cause like, I just found out this morning, I have a table read Wednesday and you know, for this thing I'm doing. And so it's like, I'm not going to say can't, but like, it doesn't seem like the most logical thing for me to go work for somebody else.
No, it doesn't.
Only because I feel like I would continuously disappoint them, even though I wouldn't be meaning to do that.
Yep. You need a flexible supplementary income that you can expand and contract as needed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
100%. Sure. Yeah.
Thank you so much for taking the time to have the conversation with me, even though I'm like so brand new.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Cool. All right. I look forward to ongoing.
Yes. And I just did want to say to Karen Eileen, thank you so much for your vulnerability and willingness to be so open about what's going on, because it just makes me feel that much more safe in this space that's what's happening here. Cause there's things that go into, like, you know, especially for those of us that are actors, like, you can look up who I am, you can look up what I've done. And like, I'm on here talking about some of my most vulnerable stuff. And it's just, I know it's very refreshing and it feels like a safe space. And I just want to say thank you to all of you that are here. So happy to be here.
Yes. That's the only kind of space I want to be in. So yeah, I'm glad that's your immediate feeling. That makes me really happy. And this is a good group of people. So as you will hear today. So thank you. Thank you. Karen Eileen, let's continue. Mm. So what stories are you telling yourself about the possibility of earning income outside of your creative field?
Outside of my creative field. I'm busy dismantling a lot of those very old stories. The old stories are, it's going to involve suffering. It's going to feel terrible. I'll feel like I'm not myself and don't have my life anymore. Like, it's going to be like the kind of sacrifice that's very icky, which is a very old story. And I know we don't need to go to the origin story of everything, but I know where this one came from. So I'm just sort of bathing that whole thing with love to try and dissolve it, because it's pretty strong. Like work as a 4-letter word, literally. And the 4-letter word is not love, which it should be. So
in general, you have an old story about work.
Yes.
Question about that.
Yeah.
Are you defining in that story work as anything you do for money, or anything you do that you don't have a passion for? Like,
that one. Anything I do, I don't have a passion for. And even more narrowly, anything that's not in front of a camera, on a set, on a stage, like anything that's not creative, I have decided is like the kind of thing that makes people suffer, which is a very, and yet, like this thing I taught last night, I taught this voiceover webinar, there were 20 people, and I love to talk about the energy world and the mindset, and it was joyful. It was an hour, and I finished that, and I'm like, I had a really good time doing that. How interesting. Okay, so I'm getting sidetracked.
Yeah, but how interesting.
Yeah.
So how has work helped you, as you define work? How has it helped you? How could it help you?
How could work
outside of your passion and the thing that you love and on stage and on camera and behind the mic, how can doing things for money help you and be a blessing?
I'm trying to keep the judgmental Judy in the corner with a blanket and a cookie, because she's very noisy. I'm not easily coming up with things. I mean, the obvious one is, it will allow me to fund my life and have ease. But again, the story is still like, in order to fund my life and have that ease, there's a lot of suffering. So I need to be willing to suffer pretty hard to get to the place where I'm free, which again, I want to like wrestle that story to the ground and knock it unconscious, but I'm having trouble doing that.
Yeah. And it's really hard to wrestle an old story to the ground because you've built a little, you and your lizard brain have built a little pyramid of proof. Oh, we're right.
The pyramid of proof. Please, that should be the title of something if that's not already pyramid of but proof. The
only reason that pyramid of proof looks so like, oh, that must be true, is because you haven't built the pyramid of equally true truth.
Pyramid of peace. Can we have a pyramid of plenty?
On the other side.
Got it.
You haven't argued the other side of the argument. Your lizard brain comes out and you're just like, right. Mm-hmm. Judgmental Judy's like, bah, 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 bah. And you're just like, right.
That's what she sounds like. Yeah.
Yeah. But having a job can introduce you to people. It can give you a sense of community.
Yes.
A paycheck can give you ease. It can provide relief. Mm-hmm. It can also shift your energy. It can also create momentum mm-hmm. that you can then ride off of and apply to your career. It also gives you motivation to like, I don't want to be stuck here doing this for very long. So let me keep That's working to move in the other. It can be this really useful. It doesn't have to be a thing you love. I'm not saying you fall in love, but it can be useful.
Okay.
Be a useful tool.
Okay.
Something that generates income, even outside of anything you want to be doing, can be a very useful tool to get you a stepping stone to where you want to be.
Okay.
And it's hard to dismantle that pyramid of proof in your mind. Mm-hmm. No, I'm going to think a different thing. It's like, I have found that you actually have to viscerally test the theory.
Yes.
Right now, the lizard brain is, here's my theory. Any job you take will involve sacrifice and suffering. So best to just stay in the cave with me. And you're like, no, I don't know if that's true.
It's definitely not true.
So I have to go out and test it.
Yes.
I have to go out and test it.
It's a little terrifying because I feel like my picker, in terms of either part-time or full-time jobs, whatever, my picker is not calibrated well. I feel like I have chosen things in the past that are not lovely. And then I'm in them and I'm like,
Then do you know you can get out of them?
I do know that in theory. I'm working on the muscle of, oh, I'm looking around at this place that I have manifested with action and intention, and it's not a match. I'm going to go now. Like, I'm working on that. I have to be very vulnerable and say,
muscle.
I'm not great at that. It's a little, it needs to go to the gym, that muscle.
Yeah, but the gym is out there.
Oh, God.
Like, you have to actually go to the gym to work that muscle.
Oh, I hate
which
that.
Which means you have to get a job, take the job, work the job, go, I don't like this job, and then leave the job.
Oh, it feels terrifying.
Maybe you have to do it more than once. But what's great is you're also getting paid to test the theory. Rather than sitting here and just mentally trying to work this all out in your emotional system.
Got it.
It's like the real world is beckoning to you.
Yes, yes, it is. Yes.
And there is, I have seen this time and time and time again. And I saw it all the way back when I was working as an organizer. Mm-hmm. The quickest way, people are like, oh, I hate everything's all disorganized. I want to like move. I'm like, well, the quickest way to find your new place is to make this place amazing and working for you. And you so that you're like, that. Oh, I could totally live here. And then all of a sudden you get the new place.
I love that. And I'm very gently doing the shredding and the sorting and the organizing. That's definitely
right, but
happening
I'm
here.
I'm saying that sometimes it's a shift of energy. If you went out, we're just playing with this idea. I'm not prescribing this to you, but if you went out and got a job and we're like, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to make money. I'm just going to prime this pump and just start making money with something I don't have to create. That will shift the energy. You're going to go out, you're going to do it every day, and that might shift the energy in a way that brings in more things of what you want to be doing. And then you have to quit that job.
That's, I might've shared this last time, but that's absolutely what happened when I was working as a personal assistant in LA The minute I took a job that had a steady paycheck, I started booking stuff all over the place. And my employer was very unhappy. But I was like, I'm an actor and it's LA and this is good news. And she's like, but I'm losing my assistant. I'm like, I'm sorry.
Sorry. Okay. And did she live?
She did live. She was just fine without me.
Yeah. No one has exploded yet.
Okay.
The thing that has, in the time that we've been working together, the thing that I haven't seen yet is what happens. Go out and get a job. Go get a shitty job.
Okay.
What happens when you start having money that you can count on?
It's been a long time. I feel like it would give me some peace, even if it's a small amount of money. I feel like the peace would be way more than the paycheck, you know?
100%. Because we can't create with our own hand around our own neck, choking ourselves to death. Ugh. And a shitty little job with a teeny tiny paycheck that's regular.
Yeah.
Peels that hand off. And then you're like, okay, what does that free my head up to do now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the bandwidth, the extra bandwidth, because it literally feels like, because of everything I'm dealing with, I don't have the bandwidth to create these beautiful programs that I know are in
That's
me.
What I thought. Yeah. That's what this said to me. Okay. I read this and I'm like, I know you have the ability and the creativity and you've delivered things in the past. I know you can do this, but I think that you are just, because of everything else as well, but just you have a little fumes right now. And I think a lot of it has to do just with reminding yourself that you can make steady money. We're not even talking about how much you're making. We're talking about the steadiness of it, because you have a relationship right now with money where it does not have your back. You're dating a money boyfriend or girlfriend or partner that does not have your back.
Yeah. Bad booty call. That's what I posted. That's a bad booty call.
And we want you to have, you know, to graduate to the boring, steady partner.
Okay.
Doesn't excite you much, but you know, can be counted on.
Can be counted
for a while.
I'm repeating everything you said, like a little parrot. Okay. Okay.
So now I am prescribing, but you can also say you don't. I will still love you if you don't. I will love everyone if whether you take my advice or not.
I want to hear your prescription. I want to hear it.
I would put down. Not the stuff you're already doing for your creativity. Of course you have clients. Of course, if you know, I've watched things fall into your lap.
Yes, you have. Nice, big, chunky things.
We're not closing that.
Yeah. Okay.
We're not closing that. We're not closing the work that you already have going.
Yeah.
But put down the ideation of the new creativity freelancing stuff.
Whoa.
And go get a job just for the experience. Now you'll come back next week like, I haven't found a job yet. Yes. Keep trying.
Okay.
And be creative about it.
Yeah.
You want to be like, can I get something I don't have to commute to? Can I get something that's virtual? Can I get something that is easy to do? Can I get something that I wouldn't hate to do? Like, who knows? Who knows what's out there?
Yeah.
But you know what could be out there? Is an amazing fit with a person that's one of your right people who needs what you can do, who's like, where have you been all my life? Sure, we can make this really flexible and virtual and easily to fit in with your creative stuff. And suddenly you have some money.
Mm. Okay.
And don't necessarily announce this to your family. Just don't do it.
Okay, I got you. And it's
because another thing that I think is
I was just going to say, I just want to reality check with you. Now is not the time to be thinking like, and this job should get me health insurance and a 401k. Like, it's not the time. This is like a tiny, just clear. Because
steady money.
Okay.
Steady money. I'm not even saying full-time job. I'm saying steady money.
Got it.
Steady money.
Okay.
Just so you can experience steady money. You can leave in 4 weeks. I don't care.
Yeah.
Steady money.
Okay.
By the way, for everyone listening, if you go into a job and only stay 4 weeks and they are better off than they were when you came in because you, you know, got things up to speed or helped them to, and they feel a lot better, they're better off than when they first hired you. Job done.
Your voice is playing in my head with that, because the question I remember getting is like, well, you're in the entertainment industry, you're going to bail on me the minute you get a phone call. And I never really knew a great way to answer that until you said so.
Yeah. And what I said to her is, you know, here's what I can guarantee. I cannot guarantee how long I'll be there, but what I can guarantee is over everyone else that you might hire for this position, I will leave you better off than when I came. You will be better off for having me for as long as we work together than you are right now.
I love that, because it's true. I believe it. That's my aim, is to leave people, places, and things better after the interaction, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
And it's not even just like, you're not saying I'm going to revolutionize your business or increase your bottom line. It's just like, you'll feel better. You'll have had a decent assistant rather than a horrible assistant. You'll have had a competent assistant rather than an incompetent assistant. Like, I knew I could do better than most people.
Yeah.
So it's like, that was a pretty good guarantee I could make.
Is it a good idea to stay away from the friends and family universe for this? Like, I want like a stranger to give me a job.
Oh, you mean versus being employed by a member of your family?
Yes. Just checking. No. What? No.
Yeah. I would stay away from that. Your case.
That's what I thought, but I just wanted to check it.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. I don't think it's necessary. I think, cause what I was about to say is that I think that you, when I said don't necessarily go announce to your family, hey, I'm looking for a job, and just do it on your own privately, because I think you need to start separating your life and your business, meaning like just your business, like
your personal business,
your personal business, your life business. They don't need to know every step, because you don't need to get, because once you go, I'm looking for a job, then it's like, how have you been? Have you got any interviews? Blah, blah, blah. The updates start to come, and you don't need that. No. You can tell them 3 weeks after you've been working there. Why not tell them 3 weeks after, and you're like, oh, I can do this for a while. This is good. Once you're there, then just say, oh yeah, I got a job over here. Okay. I mean, if they see you leaving the house every single day, if it's then maybe you'd be like, oh yeah. And you can even just say, oh, I'm going into town. Like, another muscle you need to build also is they don't need to know everything.
That's correct.
Now, what's interesting is Dani also just said, well, she took a page from Miata's book when Miata was like, I hid a lot of stuff from my family. Every family dynamic situation is different. I know a little bit about yours. So this is the thing I'm recommending to you.
Gotcha.
But I wouldn't necessarily take that, everyone listening, as a blanket thing.
Right. It's customized to everybody. Customized. I got that. Yeah. Okay. Understood.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I just want you to have a little conversation with the universe today and go, look, I'm not leaving the creative. We're not telling you to leave the creative world. You're not leaving the creative world, but you're like, here's what I need your help with. Let's go look for some steady income. And even through your willingness to do this, it'll be interesting to see what the universe comes back with.
Okay.
Wow. And even with your opening yourself up to the willingness of it, it'll be interesting to see what shifts happen in your own energy. Like, be open. Employment is a tool. It's a tool to use when you need it. Wow, I've certainly used it when I needed it.
That's such a reframe from how I've been viewing it. Definitely did not see it that way.
Yeah,
the only way to check to see if like remote or being around humans is better is to actually just
do it. You can't figure that out up here.
I'm trying to figure it out ahead of time so I can pick one or the other. And
You know how you pick between two things? Should it be remote or should it be in person? I don't know which one's giving you more money. That's how I would choose that. Like, where?
Okay.
You know, there'll be lots of variables for each one, and you can bring opportunities back here and we can suss them out and look at it from lots of different perspectives.
Okay. Okay. This feels like I'm, you know, the body is the barometer. Like it's just a big exhale. Like I'm like, oh, okay. Ugh. I've been kicking and screaming against getting even a little job. I'm kicking and screaming. So
because of the meaning that you've been imposing on it. Humans, we all do this. Humans impose meaning on things. We're meaning making machines, but often it's working against us.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. Here's what I'd like, a little image for you to take away.
Yep.
You need to put a nail into wood. You need to make some money. And there's a hammer that's been sitting there, which is a tool of employment.
Yeah.
And you're like, ah, I don't want to use the hammer, but I'd like to get this nail into the wood.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why don't you want to use the hammer? And you're like, well, if I pick up that hammer and start nailing that nail, I'll be doing that for the rest of my life. And
I'm my God, Christine, no, get out of my head.
You just need to get the nail into the wood and then you can set down the hammer and then pick up a screwdriver. Like, no, it's not forever.
Okay.
It's for the moment.
Mm. Okay, here we go.
Yeah.
Okay.
New adventure.
And thank you, Danny. And thank you everybody for the love and support. Like when I did the money management and like talked about my credit card debt last week, it literally felt like I was taking my skin off. And you guys just made that very safe. I agree. I like, it's safe to cry here. It's safe to be super real here. And just thank you, everybody. Thank you. Thank you, Christine.
Thank you, Karen. Mm. Thank you. Anu. Anu is a cash flow tiger, and she acts and directs and writes theater, social change, consulting, community engagement. Very big multi-hyphenate. So, victory report. She wrote, I started my first week of writing and continued working on a song I made up, inspired by my family and an artist I've been listening to. I feel inspired and happy to create with a lightness that reminds me of when I worked on my first play nearly 20 years ago. I feel free and thankful, and I'm learning to forgive myself. And that has taken so long to get to this moment right now. Even if you're in a completely different space today, Monday morning, I'm so glad that you felt that way when you wrote this. Now you have two things. I'll let you phrase one of them, but the one of the things that you wrote is, I'm finding it difficult to keep to my schedule of writing. I just want to talk to my friends and sing them songs. I'm thinking I need to go ahead and set the date for sharing the project. So let's just talk about that. So yeah, when was the last time you had enough free time to be with your friends and sing them songs and have fun?
Probably a while ago.
So
yeah,
it's no surprise that your soul is like, oh, free time. Oh my God, space. What? Let's play. We haven't played. She hasn't let us play for so long. We want to play and see our friends. That's natural.
Yeah.
Now, if you don't want that to interfere with project time, you have to give yourself enough space for that to live in your life on a more consistent basis. So that's, I'm not scared of that. That seems completely natural. But if you're like, okay, I got to rein that in a little bit so I can keep on task. Sure. Announcing the deadline of when you're going to share, that will help. That will help. And have you, I mean, it's only been like a week or so, but have you been like meeting with yourself and sort of deciding on the things you do want to accomplish in a week's time?
Well, so I met with someone. We're holding each other accountable on stuff. And and one of the things that they suggested, which I kind of is to take the couple weeks to actually block off the time to create. And one of the things I want to acknowledge that you had said on a prior call that I still have in my mind is think about the container of like the product. And I'm realizing that I have a question about two and if they will merge together into this other thing. But I figure, why don't I take these next, this week and the next one to just create. And then by the end of it, kind of take us an assessment of the material and then see what connections and then what of the kind of three possibilities of what that container or product would be that I can. And I think I might have multiple ones too. So figuring out priority, you know, and then, and I think then that'll help me then assess once I can figure out that container then around the budget. And also realizing the thing that you said, which was, it's so important. And I tell this to other people, but I didn't do it for myself, which is to pay yourself from the budget. So that's something that I'm also gonna, I haven't finished doing, but I'm going to do once I have an assessment of, like, you know, what's actually coming up and how it's looking.
Yeah. So smart. That's so, to encapsulate what you just said, sometimes when clients will come to me with, like, well, I don't know this. And I'm like, okay, you don't know this, which probably indicates to me you don't yet have the information you need to know which one or both or the. It's like, yeah, sometimes you have to take a step back and go, what do I need to do or research or talk about with people to get enough data for me to then make the decision? Sometimes not being able to make a decision is because you're telling yourself wild, weird stories that are like muddying the waters. But sometimes, and more often, I think it's because there's not enough data yet. Of course, you can't make the decision. You don't know. And sometimes you don't get to have enough time, or you're not able to collect the data, and you just have to make a decision and then see what happens. We don't always get the luxury of having enough information, or I should say as much as we want. But you have a little bit of time. I think it'd be wise to step back and go, okay, well, let me start exploring these different areas to see what they are. So then I can know if they can be combined or not. But first you kind of have to know what they are and what are the different options for combining or whatever. So yeah, a lay of the land seems to be in order. And I'm happy that you were able to quickly identify that.
Yeah.
Awesome. So can you ask this next question in a way? It didn't, what you gave me here, you gave me enough to talk about without actually giving a lot of details. So can you, do you want to try?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I can say some things. Okay. I can say that there is work that I was doing that was taking a lot of energy. And I will say the thing that I realized about it was when you put your attention on something and then tell people, this is what I think you should do. And then they're like, cool, write a proposal and tell us how to do it. And that's not really what I anticipated doing. And so that ended up taking a lot of time. And it feels like it put me on a different course or a different path than what I had intended or really wanted for myself. And so part of this is like, I'm in a moment where I can come back, but it was a lot of money. And now there's an opportunity to write a proposal to develop it further. And knowing what I know about some of the different factors, people, elements, support, resource involved, it's not quite the setup that would be an ideal foundation. You know, you talk about in creating cash flow, the side business, and this could be a really great side hustle, mm-hmm. like an amazing side hustle, but nothing seems to indicate that it would actually be a side hustle for maybe another, I don't know, 5 years. And I don't want to do that.
Right.
So I guess that's, yeah. So my question is, am I letting go of an opportunity? Am I not being realistic about, like, you know, I'm okay now, but in a few months I might not be. And, you know, are there things for me to consider? Should I go forward with putting together that proposal for those folks, even though I know that's not? Is there, what are the lessons I can take from this, and what is the best way to move forward? And so then, yeah.
So it sounds to me like you're saying in 3 to 5 years, this would be able to turn into a really good side hustle for me to have.
Possibly, but it's not possibly. Really clear. Yeah.
And it's interesting. I'm always fascinated that when an artist, but even anybody, decides on to commit to something, like we talked about last session, you have $18,000 in which to do a project, and you're feeling like this is the right time in which to do it. Isn't it fascinating when you're like, okay, I'm going to do this, and then something else pops up and goes, really? But you could do this. Feels a little safer, feels a little more like been there, done that before. And this is very new and scary. Are you sure you want to go over? And sometimes my story is the universe likes to test our commitment by dangling a little carrot going, are you sure? Because they want to know you're ready. They want to know, like, are we going on a muscle building adventure with you? Do you want us to help you build these muscles in this new area? Or do you just want to kind of use the muscles you already have? Let us know. Because they want us, I think, they want us to be okay. So it's like, they don't want to like push us. So they really want to know our commitment was real. Because artists make lots of commitments all the time. Now I'm going to do this. Oh, but now I'm going to do this. And they're like, hey, well, which one? So I think it's interesting, the timing of this little carrot that came back into your life. And the other thing that perked my ears up, and I want to say this just for everybody from like a bigger picture perspective, because what you said is, I don't know, be a lot of money to do this thing. And I'm like, okay, there is a difference though, between a lot of money and enough money. Please hear this, everyone. Because if you've been paid at a certain level before and a project or an opportunity comes along and it's like, whoa, that feels to me like a lot of money. But if the scope creep of that project is going to be bigger, and I know in your past, you've had projects where the scope creep just kept getting bigger and bigger. And instead of 20 hours, you were working 40 hours. That's when it's not enough money. Because now you're actually getting paid less per hour if you're working more hours than what you initially agreed to. So we get dazzled and our scarcity gets triggered when it's like, well, that's more money than I've had before. And it's like, yeah, but is it actually enough money to sustain you to actually do what this is actually going to turn into? So two different things, which would be my concern of you going forward with this. But then my other concern is, like, you've just decided to step back and work on this project. Why would you take time away now to write a proposal for this thing? So that's my question to you.
Well, I don't want to.
Yeah.
It feels so freeing to say no, but I don't know if it's like I'm not used to saying no, or
used to saying no.
Yeah.
That is one element here. You're not used to saying no. And the element that we all face is like, oh, okay, but this is an opportunity. And I, what if in 2 months I need an opportunity?
Right.
Then I would also point out, well, this came at you unwarranted. What else is going to come at you unbidden in 2 months? Mm-hmm. Who will you be? If you stick to what you've decided to do and what you're funded to do right now, if you stick to that and grow from that, who will you be? You'll be different the next time you're seeking out an income opportunity. which means you'll make different choices and better choices. Do you believe that you are employable?
Yes.
Yeah. That's your security. We don't have a lot of security in this world.
Mm-mm.
And security does not come from outside of us. It comes from inside of us, which means we can't be 100% sure about anything. So this not being sure, not which means we don't feel secure. And then we are not in control of anything. So it's like the human existence is very vulnerable. And so it really relies heavily on the stories that you are telling yourself on the daily. I am employable. I will be able to figure out this money stuff. I have worked before. It's not like you're this weird slacker person who's just drifted along in your life. Anu, you are a worker. So you'll continue to work. Because you've got skills. You know how to use them. People need them. There's money out there. Or you can just get a job. Like, you can do this. So do you know how you would say no? I'm not saying you have to. I'm just asking you, how would you say no to them?
One thought is letting someone else kind of take the lead to do it and then meet with them. And be like, hey, I'm kind of wrapping up, and just let them know. And then with the people, maybe, I don't know. I don't think it's an email. I mean, I did meet with somebody mm-hmm. to just connect with them. And they wanted to talk about the thing. And I was like, you know, we're not going to. It was more, you know, I deflected mm-hmm. appropriately and gracefully, but mm-hmm. just, it was really meant to just have a connection with them.
Okay.
So I don't, the way that I would say no feels like it's like a kind of mild yes. So I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. So here's what is an appropriate mild yes. I mean, the appropriate mild yes is, oh, I see why you thought of me for this. It seems like a great fit. It's not a great fit in my life right now. So unfortunately, I will not be able to move forward on that. However, if whoever you pick to move forward on it wants to consult with me, I'd be happy to do that for blah, 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 an hour.
Yeah. Oh, that's great.
Yeah. Thank you so much. I see why you thought of me. It seems like I would be a good fit. It's just not a good fit for my life. But if the person you do pick, who's not me, if you want to have them consult with me, here's the linchpin. You have to say the price. You have to say, I will do that at the rate of blah, blah, blah per hour. You can't just go, I'll do it. Because then they're going to think you're free to call whenever they need to talk to you. And that is not the case. So how does that feel?
I think there's a bit of a pull to want to help identify the person that could do it, given it was basically my idea. But I don't think I need to do that, because if something was yours, you can decide how you want to relate to it at any point. And I feel a sense of obligation for what it has become and the impact it has made. So I think I feel sad about walking away from mm-hmm. something that was really helping people a lot.
And why is it then, okay, I feel sad about walking away from something that is helping people a lot. Very human of you, very big-hearted of you, of course. How will the world benefit from you walking away from this thing?
Oh, I mean, it could benefit, I think, in a lot of different ways, actually.
Like,
I mean, getting to share some of the songs that I've been writing and doing. And one person said, a friend said, when you finish that song, can you send it to me? Because I want to share it with my mom because I think it'll make her cry about something that has been hard for us, and it would give us a way to feel closer. Like, so I feel like there's so many intangible and deeply impactful ways that being able to put attention on the thing that I really do feel connected to has always been a good thing.
And how will you doing this other project, no matter what it is, how will that positively impact the world?
Oh, I think it could result in something that an unprecedented kind of structure, connecting community with resources in ways that have up until this kind of moment in history been extremely difficult and even antagonistic to be able to get, but very compromised.
Yeah. And people seeing that project of yours could lead them to think of other ways that you can contribute to things at a high, even higher profile, which would allow you to impact more people, which would also give you a spotlight to then shine wherever you would like to shine that spotlight on, because that's what having a high profile allows you to do.
Yeah. I mean, the challenge is that just the bitterness and cynicism in my heart in the whole process of engaging with it has been, has felt really damaging personally. Mm-hmm. And I don't really know an easy way out of that. I think it's just kind of the nature of what it is. But I think those are things that I would contend with potentially in any area. If you're reaching a high enough profile, there are always things that are gonna, I think it's just something that's adjacent to the thing that I'm very deeply moved by and not in itself.
Yeah.
That I was feeling like, am I walking away because I want to remain, there's some piece of me that wants to remain small. And I don't want to do that. But what I thought was, well, I think if that was the case, then I would do it. But I think the case is that that's not really what I want. And if I actually put my attention in the direction of what I want, those same issues might come up and I get to kind of lean in and be bigger than the places I want to hide.
Yeah, man. Yeah. The reason I asked you the benefits, how the world would benefit from you saying no to this particular opportunity, is because oftentimes when we have to leave something that we know could benefit, if you stayed and did the thing, it would be great. And so you know that. And walking away, we only look at what is being lost. But if you're going to tell yourself one story, you need to tell yourself the opposite story. What is being gained by you leaving in the world? Not just what is being lost in the world by you saying no. But if you say no to this, the world gains in a different way. I think something that might help you going forward is, what if you just decided to own the fact that your work and your art helps people, period? That seems to be true. So it doesn't matter what you choose to do. Your art and work will help people. You could do it over here for this amount of money in these circumstances, or you could do it over here for this amount of money in these circumstances, or you could do it over there. It doesn't matter. Your end result is always going to be, my work and art helps people. Owning that allows you to just then look at the specifics of each opportunity and go where your heart's being called. Like, well, this is opportunity. I'd be working like this with this much money and this much. It just lets you be like, do I want this situation or do I want this situation? Instead of like, oh, but they need me over here. It's like, it doesn't matter where you go. Everyone needs you. Everyone could use a light like you anew on their team or leading. Everybody. So you get to choose where you're going to go. And I recommend for a satisfying life, as much as possible, you choose where your heart is pulling you, where your soul wants to have the adventure.
Mm-hmm.
And that's usually in uncharted territory.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So does that help? And is there anything I haven't touched on that you were hoping we would talk about this saying no or saying yes?
No, it just makes me want to sing. I was like, there was some line thing that you said. I was like, oh, I have to go write soon. Riff off of that.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, thank you for bringing that good stuff.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. Congratulations. It's nice to be wanted.
Mm-hmm.
I hope you're at a place where you have to be saying no regularly. Oh, I can't do that. Oh, I'm so sorry. I can't do that. I can consult, but that's it. Like, that's where I want you to be. You have a project and you just have to feel all the things you have to say no to.
Mm-hmm.
But if you never get that muscle of being able to say no, you just stay because you're always saying yes. So then you just stay in the same place, always saying yes, because you haven't worked the muscle.
Gotta work the muscle.
And it's painful. I'm never recommending anybody do something I haven't gone through the torturous thing of doing myself. So I feel your pain.
Have you heard of people talk about imaginal cells with butterflies? So when butterflies, when they're in the cocoon,
mm-hmm.
Break down into like a goo, into the kind of blueprint. To be able to have the blueprint for what they'll become. And it's a very violent process.
Mm-hmm.
And so they break down to the like smallest degree of things, which is imaginal cells. Isn't that beautiful? So for us to know that it's hard and we're going to feel all those feelings and it might feel like it might feel destructive. It might feel all these things, but that's part of the process of being able to grow into, you know, this next phase of like who you are and who you maybe have always been.
My personal theory is that butterflies and moths were created to be symbolic for the human experience. I'm not saying they were created for us. I do believe we're a little parasitic and probably not the best things to be on earth. There are better things, but anyway, they're a great metaphor for this transformation of potential. And the other aspect of their story that I love so much too, is that if you watch a moth or a butterfly breaking through their chrysalis or cocoon, it looks violent. It looks like, oh, they're struggling. Your impulse would be to help it out. Oh, let me just help you with that. But it is the very process of struggling to break through that gives them the strength in their wings to fly. So if you help a butterfly or moth out of their chrysalis or cocoon, they'll die because they will not have the strength from that struggle that strengthens their wings to fly. I mean, so that's what the building of the muscle process is for. So you can unfurl your wings to their full extent and fly. Yeah. I love it. All right. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Imaginal cells. My goodness. All right. Anybody else? The floor is open. We have some time. Sarah, I saw your email flit across.
I did. It was so late.
That's okay.
Like, oh, just send it.
but tell me.
I started working in my husband's business, and it's been it's been good to focus on something and not be spinning about, you know, everything else I'm not doing. And I'm doing like a whole bunch of things. I'm getting his business online. I renewed his Instagram business, Instagram page, the business Yelp. Like we're getting insurance, a biller to take care of an insurance thing so we can get onto insurance. I'm getting a little overwhelmed with like all the things, but I am getting stuff done. He works with three other acupuncturists at a place called Source Point Wellness in Atwater Village. And the main acupuncturist person, like I angled his marketing, so it's like very different from what she does. Cause I think initially the whole threat was like, well, don't take my clients, you know, whatever. But then she was like, oh, this is so great. You're getting him to book online now. Like clients are starting to book online. It's a lot easier for him. She offered to like send out his marketing newsletter to like her list of people, which is really awesome, like 600 people. I'm just like debating. I don't know all the 600 people, but also I want to send out to people because he's been connecting his business through his private email and his text messages for so long. And I want to get all those people and get them on a mailing list as well. So I don't know how to do all the things, and I'm afraid of overlap or annoying people or whatever. Yeah.
You will never annoy someone who's looking for what you're offering.
Okay.
And that is why God gave us the delete key. Gave everyone a delete key. And you need to, or she gave everyone a delete key.
Yes.
And you have to trust them to be adults
yes.
and to use it.
Okay. Okay.
So just they'll unsubscribe. They'll delete. Okay. And by the way, unsubscribers from lists, I unsubscribe from a lot of lists. When I know the person now, I not know them, but like, I get what you do.
You don't have to.
I don't need to be, I will go to you if I need something. Like, I just don't need the emails anymore because I get it.
Yeah.
I'll filed in my brain. So sometimes an unsubscribe isn't bad. Mm-hmm. It's just like, okay, I get it.
Okay.
And they may love you. Uh-huh. So, and don't worry about, oh, we have people that should have on her list. Who cares?
Okay.
Not your deal. Your deal is to put out these newsletters and to market so that the person who needs this today is like, oh my God, thank you. I'm so glad you reminded me because the last thing I got, and then I got distracted.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So have you decided on time constraints of how much time you're giving your husband's business?
No, I have seen it detract away from my writing. And I've also this kind of ties in with the question of like, do I need to pay myself? Like, how does the payment work? Like, I don't, you know, when you're talking to Caroline, you know, like, oh, I need to pay myself. How do I, well, it's like money from our family. Like he's having clients now book like hour and a half sessions instead of hour sessions, which is great. But, you know, like not hundreds of people have not yet signed up. So I don't know like how much money I'm actually bringing in right now. Okay. So I don't know.
I think it's, my guess is it's less important for you to be officially paid money at this stage of the game.
Okay.
Because it's family money.
Yes.
He makes more money. That's great.
Yes.
I think what's more important is you deciding, you and he decide, I am going to give you 20 hours a week.
Okay. Okay.
Because I need to do all my other stuff.
Okay.
And if we decide that you need more than 20 hours a week, then we're going to either pay somebody else to do it or you get paid an extraordinary amount to do it. An extraordinary amount. Because it's taking away from your writing, which by the way, can also make you money.
Yes.
Like you can't just be like, oh, I'm doing this little hobby on the side. It's like, no, this is a long-term moneymaker. This isn't more immediate, but I need to give 20 hours to this and something hours to this.
Yeah.
Because when you start to shift the mechanics of somebody's business, there's a million things to do.
There's so many things.
Yes.
Yeah.
And each one is like, oh, well, I can't do that until I do these two things before I do that.
Yes.
This is the important thing. But, and then you want it all done yesterday.
Yes.
Because it, you know, because you can envision it all be working and then the money coming from that.
Yes.
But technically, you have decided, or you shall decide, decree it.
Okay.
That his business can afford, the family business can afford to have an assistant for this many hours a week. And it's going to go that fast. And if you want to bring on another assistant, great.
Okay.
Or if you wanted to say, great, I'll work 40 hours a week for 4 weeks, but you have to pay me for the extra 20 hours at this rate. But yeah. I don't think that would be great.
No, it wouldn't. It wouldn't feel good. But I realize it's me setting my own boundaries. It's not even him. He's like, anything, you just give me anything, like 1 hour, 2 hours. And it's more just like, well, I'm in the flow of this. Oh, let me get this newsletter out. Okay, if I do this by this, and then it's like, oh, whatever, I can write later. And then that gets pushed back and pushed back. And then it's like, wait, yeah, I wanted to.
And the thing about his business and all the things you're doing on it, there's structure, you know, it's just, okay, this step, this step, this step, this step, there's just a million steps, but you know, the steps, it's very clear. Yes. So you will gravitate because then you get the little endorphin thing of like, check it off the list and I'm doing it. And it's helping the family. Like that is covered in glitter and sequins.
Yes.
You have to mentally cover your writing in glitter and sequins.
Okay.
Of like, this could become this, this could lead to this. I want to do this. Let me ask you a question with your writing. I mean, what are your ambitions? Would you love to like be a showrunner, or like, what do you want to do?
I want to executive produce, star.
Okay. You can stop now. Okay. Everything you're doing in your husband's business, especially the setting boundaries around your time, is the muscle you need if you're going to be an EP. Oh my God. Totally. Yeah. You're going to show up on set. Everyone's will ask you all the questions and you have to manage the time. Yes. That's like first and foremost.
Yes.
It's first managing the time. Second to executing creative vision.
Do the thing.
Because if you have to get that shot.
Yes.
Because you're running out of money, then you're just going to fucking get whatever shot you can get. So creative vision is secondary to time management.
Okay.
So when you set this many hours a week on my husband's business or on the family business, how would you like to refer to it?
Uh-huh.
You keeping yourself to that and forcing yourself to put the pen down when the hours are over. That is you doing a rep of EP.
Okay.
Because you're going to have to do that as an EP. We have to end this meeting because now I need to go to set.
Yes.
And it's going to hurt each time.
Okay.
It hurts when you are super in the zone and you're like, oh, just 15 more minutes. Like,
exactly.
Trust me, I've lived half my life. I get it. It's painful.
So painful.
But I'd rather be strong.
Yes.
Face the pain and be stronger. Okay. It's hard.
It's hard. It's so hard. You're just like, I just need, and then I can get this newsletter out. Then I don't have to think about it. Hundreds of people will post. Right. But then it's like, oh shit, I'm still not done with it. Oh my God.
Right. Yeah. Your job is to be able, because what we say to ourselves, including me, oh, well, I can just get this thing done, then I don't have to think about it. No, the job is to, how do you manage your mind even when it isn't done yet? That's the strength. Instead of, I can only relax when my to-do list, or I've done this thing. It's like, flabby muscles.
Yeah.
You have to be like, I need to be able to relax or refocus or go make dinner.
Okay.
And calm myself down, the emotional regulation when what I call loops are open. We want to close the loops because closing the loop feels good. You can check it off your list, but open loops are like, But an EP lives with open loops because you're going to be editing the past episode, shooting this episode, pre-production for the. It's all just open loops until the time runs out, really. That's how people, like, I heard someone say, it's, oh, you make a decision. You know when the project is done, when you run out of the time, then it's done. It's done in television. It's like,
you have to be.
It's done. I guess these are our shots. That's what we're working with. This is our footage. Run out of money. It's done. Yeah. So, yeah. So this is great training.
Yes.
If you use it, if from the big picture perspective, you're like, oh, it looks like down here, I'm working on my husband's business, but what I'm really working on is becoming mm-hmm. a leader mm-hmm. who can handle this kind of stuff.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
To go right.
Yeah. Perfect.
Yeah. Ah, good one. Good
Thank
one.
Thank you.
Welcome. You're welcome. I'm so excited for you. I think this is a really good thing that you can do to help him, but only with the constraint.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause then I won't feel resentful or like just like what the fuck happened, you know, like just all that stuff. Yeah. So yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Uh-huh. 100%. Yeah. And the truth is that yes, your husband can totally grow his business and make more money for your family. Mm-hmm. But of your two careers, you're in the lottery business. So you actually have the opportunity to make an exponential amount of money because it's a ridiculous, weird industry. And that's how it kind of works.
Yeah.
You get paid based on the pie that you're dealing with, and the pie of the industry, some projects is way bigger than the pie available to an acupuncturist.
Yeah.
So it behooves you guys to be playing both sides of this.
Absolutely. I've seen it over and over and over, but it's always like, I forget, or I don't know. I get stuck in that loop.
Yeah. So you're actually of the two, he's the steady income.
Yes.
And you have through acting and writing have the opportunity for the exponential income.
I do.
So it's a nice pairing. You know, that's great.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Christine.
You're welcome. Anybody else have a real quick question? Or do we feel complete for the day? Okay. Complete. Thank you. See you next Sunday.
Thank you.
Have a wonderful, wonderful week.
Thank you, everybody.
Take care. Hi, Lydia. Hi, Liliana. Hi, Ellen. Thank you for showing up. Bye, guys.